Well, previously on the Two-Headed Serpent, Charles was in the process of getting stabbed in the eye socket when he discovered that the doctor performing this procedure upon him actually had no medical skills. And so Dr. Dupont made a brave attempt of it, gouged around inside the eye socket with the needle a bit, but couldn't quite get access to the brain. So Jane ran off and found an actual medical doctor, Dr. Vitanen, who was working down the corridor, who showed up in a bloody lab coat, being rather grumpy, grabbed the syringe out of Dr. Dupont's hand, and successfully stabbed it into Charles's brain. Now, Charles then went into something of a sedated state. Meanwhile, Bart tried to get Dr. Dupont to help him remove this strange alien webbing that covered his body. They decided that the best way of doing this was injecting him with an experimental chemical which had been harvested from serpent person venom, which would cause humans to shed their skin. Julien happily managed to dilute it enough that it didn't remove all of Bart's skin, just several layers of it, but the pain still caused Bart to black out. While Bart was blacked out, he and Charles had a little conversation off in the Dreamlands with Tyrannish, where she encouraged them to try to find out a little more about what Caduceus was up to in relation to an artifact called the Cobra Crown, which she believed they were interested in, which might, like her, be located in Calcutta at the moment. While Bart was unconscious, Jane examined Bart and realized that, yes, he had shed a lot of his skin with the suit still attached to it, which is a shame because, you know, the suit does seem to be very good armor, but it wasn't really doing him a lot of good. And so we'll pick this up, I think, with trying to determine what this shot into Charles's brain has actually accomplished. Now, Julien made his roll a while back for creating the serum, and you got an extreme success, is that right?
I just remember it was a success. I believe it was extreme.
So as Charles is coming out of his trance state, the rest of you can see that his body is trembling a bit, and there was blood leaking out of his eye socket anyway, but there does seem to be blood actually leaking out of both of his eyes right now. And from the tremors in his body, it does look like, well, something is happening with his brain. Now, whether or not this is a good or a bad thing is a bit early to say, but perhaps Dr. Dupont is relieved to see that Charles is actually beginning to regain consciousness.
Ah, c'est bon. C'est ça va? It's okay. You can see he's okay. He's fine. I knew it was going to be fine. There was never a risk of him not waking up.
Yeah, and with that, I mean, his eyelids just snap open, and you can see that his eyes are completely bloodshot and bulging slightly.
And I breathe a sigh of relief. Told you.
Charles is now awake. He has got the most phenomenal headache. I mean, this is like every hangover you've ever had in your life rolled into one. It feels like your brain is at least three sizes too big for your skull at the moment. And there is something just pounding on the inside of your skull.
Oh, God. Has it worked? Am I smart now?
At the moment, all you're aware of really is pain.
Ah. And I'm seeing him in this state of pain. I will try and put something together for you. Let's see what I have here. And I just start like grabbing some bits and bobs that I'm like, well, that's a sedative and that's a horse tranquilizer. And that's like, I use this to pacify the lizards and I just start mixing it all together into some kind of a drink. I've got a cocktail shaker. I'm just like, do a couple of tricks. So can I roll for that?
Yeah, if you want to give me a pharmacy roll or a chemistry roll to try to whip up a painkiller.
Let me see. I just want to check real quick. I do not have pharmacy, so I'm going to go ahead and use chemistry.
Okay. He doesn't have pharmacy. That's why he didn't just reach for the bottle of morphine that's sitting on his desk.
Exactly. Yeah. By the way, I rolled 89
label on front
against 80. 89 against 80. So I failed, but I'm going to push the roll. I'm going to go, I realize here, it's frothing in a way that it shouldn't. I'm like, I know what the problem is, and I spit into it, and then I just shake it around, right? And then I roll again, and I got a 31 against 80. Ah, see? And then now the bubbling concoction cools down. I'm like, drink this.
You needed more croissant, Adam.
It needed more saliva.
It needed that certain je ne sais quoi.
It needed some coffee and cigarettes that I've been having.
Yes.
You drink this, it will help your headache.
The good news is that your headache is going to go away. The bad news is you've now got syphilis. Okay, well, is Charles drinking this wonder concoction?
I think... The pain that you've described makes me think Charles will probably drink anything, including current spit.
It's not current spit. It's Julian Dupont.
As someone who has had many headaches, exactly as he has just described them, yes you would drink it.
Then, as you drink it down, there isn't an immediate effect, but slowly it does feel like your eyes are... beginning to fit your head again, and your head is throbbing just a bit less. You know, when you're still dizzy and queasy, and I mean, it's if this concoction, well, if the injection you've had in your brain has done any good, it's not immediate, but you can certainly feel like there's something going on inside your skull.
What the hell was that? That's better than my grandpappy's hangover cure, and that had raw egg in it.
Well, it's just every sedative I have in this lab put together, and then you drink it.
Oh, well, so can I get that on the street? Is there a shop where I can buy that? That was damn good. That would be a...
I'm not sure it would sell too well if people could read the ingredients on the back, but...
Especially the spit part.
Yeah. We don't talk about that.
Is this where we find out you're a lizard person, that you're actually injecting your special venom into it?
That would be pretty cool, but that's not what's happening, unfortunately.
Right. I don't think we're safe here. Are you Cadiceus?
I mean, they hire me. They let me do what I need to do for my research, but that's all.
Right. So are you part of that snake worshipping part of Cadiceus?
Not exactly. No, I am very as you can tell by Dr. Vitanen, I am not exactly accepted in the Cadiceus circle, so to speak. They think of me as more the fringe, kind of working on the lizard brains and that, but nothing else really.
You're a weirdo. You'll fit right in here.
Ah. Good to know.
And speaking of weirdos, Bart had shed quite a lot of skin. I think Jane was attempting to cut him out of the armor now. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. If I can help.
Well, I think that's what we decided while Bart was asleep, that Jane was trying to extricate him from the armor, but this is going to involve effectively destroying the armor.
Yeah, I think it makes sense if Jane was kind of checking it over and interested in the general progression, I guess, of the suit.
Yeah, I mean, if Jane wanted to cut him out, I'm sure Dr. Dupont has got some surgical tools around the lab that you could use to do the job.
Absolutely.
Well, I can just give it a go.
Well, I guess as Bart is coming out of his little sojourn to the Dreamlands, he's waking up to Jane standing over him with a big pair of shears, cutting what appears to be, well, not only the meshing, but quite a lot of your skin into shreds.
How much pain am I in?
It feels like Yeah, the worst sunburn imaginable.
Jane, what are you doing with those? I have some very unpleasant memories involving women in shears.
Oh, hello, darling. Don't worry, I'm just cutting some of your skin off.
Jaw open, like halfway through to speaking, Bart just looks down and is like,
the part with the suit on it, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, given about half an hour, you can cut Bart loose. And, yeah, Bart at this stage, his skin is shiny and pink. Actually, you know, a bit reddish, but yeah, it's got that plastic sheen of new skin. And there, at this stage, is not a single hair left on your body.
Gosh, darling, this has taken 10 years off of you.
Just sort of standing there with my arms outstretched so none of my body touches any other part of my body.
Don't suppose you have any aloe vera?
I'm just sort of looking around. No, actually, no, I don't. Maybe you should call Viten and she does more of the doctor-y type things, you know?
a towel, then?
Yes, I can do that. And then I take a paper towel and give it to
him. Just sort of drape it in front of me.
He's just got a little paper towel.
Where was the doctor? The medical.
Oh, Dr. Vitanin. Yes,
medical doctor.
Yes, I can take you to her office. Yes. Okay, let's go.
Okay. So you're basically leading what Bart just covering his modesty with a paper towel down the corridor.
And I get a feeling the paper towel is not long enough.
Darling, it's more than substantial, I wouldn't worry.
Did any body modification I may or may not have had survive?
I mean, things like piercings, yes. I would have thought tattoos and ritual scarification, borderline.
We established something only she would know because we'd been at similar parties. I have a piercing in my Johnson of an Ouroboros.
Yes. Of course, that's still there.
So you've got a snake eating its own tail going through the tip of your penis.
Well, you know. It's eternal. It's the never-ending cycle.
Okay. I mean, Bart had more flair than I thought.
It's the one thing he has in abundance beyond all else.
He's got some additional street cred as far as Julian's concerned.
Yeah, that's no longer a secret. It's just dangling there, catching the glint of the electric lights.
But yeah, Jane leads him down the corridor towards Dr. Vigenin's office. And you can see that there is a little red light on the lintel above the door that is actually lit. And from inside, you can hear what sounds like a saw or something going.
Oh, the lovely doctor might be busy. We can always knock.
Would you mind? Rather a lot of pain.
Okay. The saw sound stops for a moment, and there is the sound of someone saying something that sounds fairly angry in a language I think we established you hadn't been able to identify. And then a couple of moments later, there is the sound of a bolt, and the door flies open, and there is Dr. Vitanin standing there. She's got goggles on now, a paper hat, and a smock, all of which are covered in blood, and is holding a bone saw in her hand. There's the sound of something whimpering inside the room.
Oh, terribly sorry. My friend could do with some medical attention, if you're not too busy.
What would give you the idea I am busy? Maybe the red light? Maybe the bone saw?
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. Ah, yes, you understand. Good. The whimpering inside the room gets louder.
My friend's in quite a lot of pain.
All right. Yes. Give me a moment, she says. You can see most of the room is in darkness, but there are some lights that are focused on what does look like a fairly large wooden table with leather restraints. And there is something on the table. You can't make out what it started as, but at the moment it just really seems to be a massive red. Dr. Vishnan shakes her head as she picks something else up off the table and walks over towards it and says, I suppose there will be other test subjects. And you see what's in her hand is a gun, and she just, you know, shoots the thing a couple of times and then turns around to you and says, she's still got the gun in her hand. What is it you want me to do with this one?
Bart just kind of looks down at his skin, still shaking, his head sort of bobbing up and down with pain.
Some ointment or something of that nature?
Maybe some bandages.
I can give you heroin.
It's been a while, but it certainly deal with the problem at hand.
Yes, right. Yes. Sit down. I will get the heroin.
This what year is this? 1930? Yeah, okay. Doctors would do that kind of shit.
It seems legit.
This is the exact amount you need to become addicted. No.
It is actually illegal at this stage. Fairly recently, but yes, it is legal.
Yeah.
But, you know, Caduceus, etc.
It's been about a decade since you've been able to buy it over the counter as a cough treatment.
You can still buy methamphetamine over the counter.
Oh, yes. And yeah, she prepares a syringe, comes over. Well, at least your veins are easy to see, she says. And she grabs your wrist and pulls out your arms. Yeah, and then, yeah, with very little ceremony, she gives you a quick injection and says, Yes, this will take care of the pain for the moment. She digs around in the cabinet and says, and give him these when the pain gets too bad, and she gives you a bottle of tablets.
Thank you.
Are they labeled?
These are only morphine, but they may help.
Do you have any bandages or spare clothes or anything? We found ourselves a little short on supplies.
Clothes.
It's really no worry. I can just have the club send some over.
Yes, this may be best. My clothes will not fit him.
I just need a telephone.
As my eyes start to flutter and wander about the room.
Jane was trying to catch Bart's eyes in to be like, hey, play along, so I have a bit more time to look at the doctor's lab, but she sees that Bart is in no shape to collude on anything.
Yeah, I mean, as you were looking around, I mean, you could give me a spot hidden roll.
Gladly. Yes, 37 out of 80.
Okay, so yes, even in the dim light, you can make out that the thing on the slab is humanoid, but probably not human. The dimensions are wrong and is a bit too small. It's probably not a person. Probably. Or at least not an unmodified one.
I know Bart's out of it at the moment, but we haven't actually discussed any game effects going on, just the sort of narrative ones.
Yeah.
Could Bart sort of catch on that Jane is trying to figure this, to see what this thing is, and sort of overfeign his high and stumble in towards the table to get a closer look?
Yeah, by all means. I'll tell you what, do you want to give me a fast talk roll? Or an acting role, whichever is better.
Oh, fast talk.
Okay.
That's a 28 against 80. So hard.
Okay. So, yeah, it's not very hard for you to act stoned and you know, stumbling at the moment, because you are stoned and stumbling. but you can certainly, you know, create a nice distraction there, and you get a much better look. You can see that... Yeah, there were bits of In fact, you can see that most of the face of this thing had actually been removed prior to whatever was being done and is sitting over to one side. Again, I'll ask for a spot hidden roll just to see whether you can, no pun intended, piece this together.
That is a 60 versus 74.
Okay, yeah, you're fairly certain that this is one of the clones, or similar to the clones that you saw ages ago locked in the cage, the mutant Rose Medums that were all locked up down here.
You're not Susan.
And I'll spin around and
There's the door. Yes. Jane, come on, must be going.
One second, darling. Thank you, Doctor. Much, much obliged. Sorry to bother you twice in one day. Farewell.
Yes. Please do not bother me again. I have to repeat all my day's work now.
Okay, toodaloo.
Oh, okay. Well,
presumably the door slams behind us.
Oh, yes.
Or it sort of lurches. Onto Jane. I think...
Yes?
She was dissecting...
Yes?
One of the mutant... The Rose... The Medians?
Rose... Oh, Rose Medium.
Rose Medium things.
Oh.
Yes, but not the real one. The
more's the pity.
The printed, the copied.
The clone.
Rose Mediums.
Okay.
Yes. You That's... have a very funny nose. Boop.
Come on, let's get you let's get you to the club.
Whee! Oh, that is, oh.
So you're taking Bart, just dressed only in a paper towel, out of the building? Or are we taking him back to DuPont's lab? What are we doing?
We should go via a telephone.
I should call the... Yes. The telephone.
I guess what I'm trying to pin down is, are you going back to DuPont's lab to make the phone call from there, or are you going elsewhere in the Caduceus building?
Back to the lab, I think.
So, I mean, during the time that the others have been away, I mean, Charles's head is beginning to clear a bit. I mean, you feel that there is definitely a process going on here. But what I'll say is, initially... Do you want to roll a d10 and get that many points of intelligence back?
3.
Whoa, that's not good.
How do you feel about it?
It's better than a 1.
Oh, 3 bad in this instance. Shit.
Can he push the roll?
No.
there can't be a bad, yeah. No, it's not.
So, I've gone up.
Yeah.
Just need more injections.
But as I mentioned, this is an ongoing process. That's the first part. But I mean, we'll see what effects it has as it goes on. But at the moment, yeah, there's obviously all that subdued pain that's going on in your head as your brain is rewiring itself significantly.
Mm-hmm. You got the French saliva cocktail keeping everything under wraps.
Oh, my head is still killing. I gotta go. Hey, Ethan.
Ethan barks at you, and then I feed Ethan a bit of meat. I don't think he's going to respond to you. Is there a computer in my lab?
No.
One of these giant-ass computers that, like, takes up half my lab?
Yeah, computers at this stage are basically entire rooms. Even with weird science and the resources available to you,
No, I understand. Is there a computer in the Caduceus building?
No, Caduceus don't really use computers, or at least not that you've seen.
Why did I put 70 in computer use? 1930s.
That is a very, very good question, sir.
It is, yeah, I know. I don't know. Anyway, it happened. It can't unhappen. I hope you've all gotten the impression that although your colleague Ethan is no longer able to work with you, I've been such a fan of your work. Everything that everyone has done is... the last so many missions have been amazing. I read about them. I was wondering if you would allow me to accompany you on the next one. I would love to get out of the lab, get closer to the subjects, maybe get a fresher source of brain.
Hey, maybe you can help. I mean, are you like monitored to like Caduceus pay attention to what you do on a...
Well, I think they did for a while, but there were so many infringements that eventually they decided that it's easier for to just untie my hands and let me do what I do.
Okay, then. So, you haven't seen any, like, while you're experimenting on creatures and animals and your gesture towards Ethan, like, test subjects and things, you haven't seen any kind of big animals maybe from the Congo being brought in? Wild animals or...
I mean, normally I'm only having reptilians in my lab, but I know that there are other labs in this building that have they're using other creatures. I think I could maybe find a list of what is coming in and from where.
So, Julian, is there any way you could find out if there has been any, like, tropical creatures being brought in from Africa? Congo is in Africa, right?
Yes, it is.
Would it be like tigers or elephants? Or
so who would normally give me the list of creatures that have been supplied or the brains and materials that I would get? I guess, because I'm assuming that person would then also have, like, they're dealing with the distribution of materials from different locations, so they're logistically handling everything that happens in Caduceus.
Yeah, when there's stuff that's being brought in that you need to analyze, strange samples and so on, that does tend to get assigned to you, maybe not always directly, but the orders do come from Dr. Gonsalves.
Okay. So I pick up the phone and I dial the line for Gonsalves' office.
Yeah, you get through eventually. It takes a few attempts, and you hear a tired-sounding voice at the other end. Yes, Gonsalves?
Hi, this is Julien Dupont. I know we don't speak that often. It's been a while since you've...
Hey, hang on. Ask him for an elephant.
Do you have an elephant?
Oh, no, that's probably too big. Ask him for a lion or, like, a chimpanzee.
I can't keep changing the order. Sorry.
Something that you'd find in the Congo.
Can I have an elephant lion? I mean, can I have a lion?
I'm sorry, what? Look, it has been a very long day. If you have anything you need to request, just put it in writing and send it up to me.
Yeah, I will do. Sorry for taking your time, Gonsalves. I let you go.
Yes.
Bonsoir. And I hang up the phone. Okay, so I just need to write up my purchase order. So I take a piece of paper and I'm like, one elephant, one lion. Anything else?
Hang on. No, we're just being deaf now. Something that you'd find in the Congo, but nowhere else. Like, because an elephant, they're not going to give you an elephant, are they? What's like a small Congo animal?
You would be surprised. They would get you whatever you ask for.
Really?
Yeah, usually.
I've always wanted to see a hippo.
I don't think that is exactly in line with what you're trying to find out.
Right. Yeah, I'm getting distracted here.
Mm-hmm. No shit.
Also, I think hippos are extremely dangerous.
I think this is a good point for Jane and Bart to come back in just in time to hear Julian explaining to Charles how dangerous hippos are.
Yeah. so they can actually come up from under the water and crush your boat, and then they kill you, even though they are herbivores and they look so cute with the little ears above the water, but they are murderers.
Hey, I'm not surprised. I'm not suggesting we give it water to hide in. We'd put it in like a box or something.
You want to put an hippo in a box? And I am the monster? I don't think so.
Like a big box. You know, we don't want to, you know, so we could kind of turn around.
Like a room-sized box.
Well, I won't go that far.
I'm thinking, how long can we keep going until Jane and Bart come into the room?
So then Bart and Jane make their way back into Julian's office. So you can see that Bart is obviously a little worse for wear. I mean, he's reeling, and his pupils look like pinholes at the moment. But yeah, he certainly seems to be moving a bit less painfully than he was last time you saw him.
Charles! My least favorite person!
And I stumble over and give you a hug.
Oh, hi, Bart. It's good to see you too. Glad to see you feeling better. I think I might be feeling better too.
Oh, so the needle in your eye did make you less stupid. Wonderful.
And Bart sort of spins around, and as Charles sits up, sort of hops up onto the... Was he on an examining table or one of those like dentist chairs?
More like a dentist chair, I think.
His heart pop up on the foot section of that.
Oh, that hurt. But I don't care. They gave me heroin.
Right, well, it's all very well for you, but I can't really go anywhere, can I? Like, I can't stay here because Caduceus is trying to kill us. I can't go out there because Casale says he'll kill me if I don't find some warehouse somewhere. I can't go to Murph's place anymore. That bridge is burned. What am I going to do, Bart?
Oh, they still recognize you? I mean, you were never a looker before, but now you're positively hideous. Maybe they won't even know it's you.
Oh, they're not just gangs. If they're just gangsters, they'll be fine. I'll just fuck off to Bolivia again. They're all tied up in this snake stuff. They know about Yeg, they know about Caduceus, and they say I gotta head over to Red Hook and find out how Congolese animals are. That's a word, right?
Actually, no, they weren't very interested in animals. They thought that the whole thing was a front for heroin smuggling, and that this was putting Caduceus into competition with the mafia.
I might not be too smart, Bob, but I think I can trick this French daughter into finding out which and Charles is speaking really loudly at this point. Mm-hmm. Which warehouse they're like moving the heroin into. Hang on, let me see. Hey, Julianne, have you found out where they're moving the hippos into, which warehouse they're moving the hippos into?
No, I would have to make the order first, and then they would simply deliver it here. I don't know which warehouse.
I'm still... Oh, Jane.
Hello, darling.
Hello.
Warehouse. The Red Hook warehouse. So the one that my favorite person in the world, Rose Medium, was talking about.
That's right.
Oh, we just saw copies, clones of Rose being dissected by the nice lady who gave me the heroin.
Dr. Vertanen is doing some interesting experiments on some of the Rose Medium clones.
Very loudly,
shh. I don't think it's entirely ethical.
I've got an idea. Yeah. Hey, Julian. Do you have access to the, any secret files of Caduceus? The ones on the top floor?
And like, before you said top floor, I'm already, like, pulling out files from some drawers that I've got. I'm just like, we got this one. Here's the two editors. Very cool. And they're just, like, examples of different animals that have, like, gone weird, or I've managed to successfully stitch several heads onto... one body. That one I'm very proud of. It's an ostrich with six legs.
Delightful. Jane starts and they all work. Flicking through it.
But I don't think I have access to anything from the top floor. It's quite secure.
All the files and so on that you've got access to are all down here in the basements.
So this is where we are, Julian. We know that Caduceus may be not playing it straight with us. I don't know if they've ever given you that impression. Mm-hmm. But we think they're doing something in a warehouse in Red Hook. And we need to know which warehouse. You don't have any ideas of how we might find that out. You seem to have a kind of inside stream to at least something that's going on here.
Well, I know that every order that I would get for subjects or test cases would come from Gonzalez. So he handles the distribution of the samples, but I don't think he's going to tell us which warehouse without... If you didn't want to alert him, then... I mean, I don't think you're going to get that information.
Well, we know they're moving a lot of heroin through there. I mean, could you ask for, like, a lot of heroin? I mean, for Bart here.
How much heroin?
I don't intend to make a habit out of this. It's very bad for your health.
Like... Well, like a lot. Like maybe you needed like this much.
Even if I ordered a specimen or a big amount of heroin, then they would just bring it here. We're not going to get the location of the warehouse.
How about we... Gosh, I don't know. Well, it seems the only evidence we have so far is... this information from the 17th floor, no?
Yeah, there was a whole load of papers up there. And then Canning came and kicked us out.
I see.
You got access to 17th floor, Julian?
I believe so. No, I don't. I don't. Okay. Damn it.
That is reserved for Joshua Meadham and his immediate staff.
I've never had access to the 17th floor.
Well, perhaps we can go check it out.
And then we could go to the 18th floor. Some interesting things there.
I don't think we should go right now, darling.
So Jane and Bart, and he'd like, you'll cover his mouth with his hand. Maybe we should sneak up upstairs in secret and see if we can see what these papers say. And maybe we could find out more about Calcutta and what Caduceus is doing there. Hey, Bart.
Ooh.
Yes, I mean, I'm game, but I don't think that you two would be the stealthiest at the moment, let's say.
Why would someone need to be stealthy? What are you talking about?
So the idea is we're going to sneak upstairs without anyone from Caduceus, even yourself, no one, and find out what's going on in this warehouse.
And why would you want to do that?
Well, we think there's something really strange going on there. I'm being blackmailed by the Mafia, and there's this thing called the Inner Night, which is a really scary bunch of Caduceus like snake-loving, frog-loving offshoot who we think they're doing something in Red Hook as well.
So would I recognize the Inner Night as something that's being mentioned?
Yeah.
And I would know them to be a big problem. Right.
Yes, yeah. Basically, they are stymieing Caduceus at every turn.
Okay, so I'm very interested now. I'm seeing it as also like potentially career prospects going on here, you know. The Inner Night. Okay, and you think there is some infiltration of Caduceus, so we can't let them know that we are looking for evidence in their warehouse? Is that correct?
Yes, we'll need to be subtle.
Okay.
Emphasis on subtle. And she's sort of looking at Bart and Charles.
Subtle? As a bishop going to an orgy. Trust me, they're very discreet. Take off the hats and everything.
Maybe you could do it. Maybe if you could went upstairs. Don't tell anyone, obviously, what you're really doing, but you could go upstairs and find out where this warehouse is in Red Hook.
So you want me to go upstairs, infiltrate the files of my current employer, breach my contract, and potentially risk my livelihood so that I can, on a whim, try and find evidence of a warehouse that is somehow connected to the Congo, because we might then have a lead to catch the Inner Knight in their conspiracy. Is that correct?
Pretty much.
Smart, this one.
C'est bon. Perfect. Parfait, oui. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I will need... Jane, you come with me. We can leave these two to look after each other.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say that both of them could probably do with a bit of sleep.
Well, what they choose to do with their time is entirely up to them. I'm not that kind of doctor. Okay. And
right, shall we?
I guess Jane and I then head off. Yeah, we let's go. After you.
Okay. I mean, at this stage, it's still daytime and it's getting on in the day a bit. But if you wanted to take advantage of the office being a bit quieter, you might want to leave it for a bit. Otherwise, you're going to be trying to go up to a floor where you don't officially have access during working hours.
Yeah, we might want to leave it till later. And maybe deposit Charles and Bart somewhere where they can get some rest.
Well, I mean, my lab has some curtained off beds at the back.
Perfect.
You could say we've just laid them up to rest there. No one should disturb them in here, hopefully. Most people are afraid of my lab.
Really?
not as afraid as they are as Dr. Vitamin's lab.
It's not a competition, but if it was, maybe she was winning. But I don't want to talk about that. Yeah, moving on.
Okay, and then, so you've put the others to bed. What, are you getting a bit of rest yourself before you head off for some breaking and entering?
I guess, yeah.
Yes, could have a little nap.
I will bring with me some very strong acids as a way to sort of, I guess, potentially get through anything that we would need to get through. That's okay. My planning is to have an acid that would probably be the easiest thing to trace ever, and you would definitely know that it probably couldn't have been anyone else but me, but that's my plan. I'm not that kind of smart.
It's because all of them have your spit in.
it's this special ingredient.
They're all labeled in your handwriting.
Yeah. Actually, now there's a point. There is another one of these venoms that you were given for analysis, along with the one that caused people to shed their skin, that is basically about the most potent acid you have ever seen. It was stored in these little bottles that looked something like jade, but wasn't jade. You weren't quite sure what it was, but that seems to be about the only substance you've encountered that it won't just eat through.
Okay, so I would take like a drop from that and potentially put it on a lock or something if I tried to.
Yeah,
if I wanted to open a door or something.
Yeah, it's been very difficult to analyze because basically all the equipment you've tried to use to analyze it has dissolved in contact with it.
Yeah, so every time I try to use I try to pour it into a beaker disintegrates, so on. Yeah, okay. So I take some of that with me, and I guess some time has passed, everyone's resting, and we are going to try and...
On our way.
Try our bit of espionage. Like, I'm probably the least sneaky of a character I've been in a long time, so normally, like, one of my first stats is...
Dean's just bringing her notepad and her gun.
According to this film called Hot Fuzz, the most powerful tool is your notepad.
There is also, I mean, Jane will probably know potentially the hitch that you don't have access to the 17th and 18th floor in terms of taking the lift up there. It requires a special key. You're fairly certain that Charles, in fact, you've seen Charles has actually bypassed the panel before, but you know he's a mechanic.
But he ain't here.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a computer that controls it, right?
I mean, maybe during the afternoon, Jane could try to watch someone key it in, see if she picks up the code.
It's not. No, it's not like a keypad. I mean, it's like a physical.
It's a physical key.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, of course. We're thinking. Yeah, 1930. Right.
And Charles is asleep at this point. We didn't think about it beforehand. So how exactly do you get to the 17th floor?
That's a really good question, Doctor. I think we're going to need to finagle a key somehow.
Finagle?
Take. Steal. I was just trying to make it a bit more flowery.
I only have a 40 in English, so please bear with me.
Sorry. I'll try to remember it in the car next time. Jane rolls to say finagle in the car.
We're all trying to get our Nicole rolls in. I can say that in Nicole, though. No. what's the highest floor we have access to at the moment?
The highest floor you can get to is, I think, the 16th, because there's no restrictions on there. The only floors that are restricted are the 7th and 8th and the 17th and 18th. And Jane has got access to the 7th and 8th.
I do.
Okay, maybe going to the 7th and 8th floor is the where we would get the key for the 17th, 18th?
Perhaps, if we're lucky. Can always go have a peruse, a look.
I'm very excited. I've never been on this floor before.
Right this way.
Feels so mischievous.
Ooh. Okay, so what is your plan for getting hold of a key on the 7th or 8th floor?
The logic might be that we'd find someone there who we know or suspect has access and try to pickpocket them, potentially.
Okay, who do you think might have access?
Gonzalez.
Okay.
Potentially.
Anyone
we know that's kind of high up or in mediums in the circle.
Yeah, I was like, haven't we put Gonzalez through enough?
No, damn it!
It's fair to say that the only person you know who, yeah, you have regular contact with, who is a member of Medium's Inner Circle, is Gonzalez.
I guess we're going to Gonzalez's office.
Yep.
But before we do, I think I'd be like, Jane, what is the plan? How are we going to get the key?
Well, I think first we should work out if he's actually in his office or not, because that changes the play somewhat.
But what if he is? Shouldn't we have a plan?
Well, I suppose we could do some
I am very new to this finagling.
Oh, yes, understandable. I suppose we could... I could always debrief a little further on Iceland and some of the substances we found, and could perhaps have some of your input as the knowledgeable doctor, and ask if there's anything further we can do in terms of collaborative research on this project. Or something.
Okay. Just that sounds good.
Bore the socks off of him.
Okay, yeah.
Ah. Okay.
Or the key out of his
pocket.
He's
not going to be very good with this. All of my experiences are that he has very little patience for me.
Right.
All right, then. So you go up to the 8th floor, and it's now fairly late in the day. And, I mean, the bullpen isn't completely empty. I mean, obviously, there is still people working because it's a 24-hour operation. It is much quieter than usual. But you can see that Fernanda has obviously gone home for the day, but there is a light on in Gonsalves's office.
Mm. I think Jane gets a little flashback, actually, to the news officers when she sees the bullpen, perhaps. I don't know. There's just something in the light of it particularly, or something that just kind of like makes her think about her mentor collapsing.
Yeah.
And she just starts to get really angry inside, but she's kind of holding it in. And this kind of steals her resolve to be like, okay, I know this is reckless and this is stupid and ridiculous, but at least we're doing something. So that's kind of her internal monologue. Yeah, so Jane kind of just turns to Julian and is like, not exactly sure how this is going to play out, but I think it's the best chance we have, so shall we?
After you.
Okay. And she knocks on the door.
Yeah, and there is a tired voice from within that says, yes?
Dr. Gonsalves, so sorry to interrupt you.
Miss Farewell, yes, is it important?
It is of medium urgency, I would say.
So, yes, come in then, come in.
Julian, looking very out of place, feeling like he's in a place he shouldn't be, is standing suspiciously straight and staying quite close to Jane and very shifty-eyed looking at Jane and then looking at Gonsalves and looking at Jane and then looking at Gonsalves. Like, I don't belong there. And I'm wondering if he ever notices.
Well, Gonsalves's desk is just covered in paperwork and news clippings, and he just looks completely overwhelmed at the moment. I mean, from the bags under his eyes and his complexion, it doesn't look like he's had much sleep recently. And, he just looks at you and says, what is it, Miss Farewell?
I was going to talk to you about any potential collaboration that our team can have with Dr. Julian about some of the substances we found in Iceland, of course, from the Inner Night research facilities. But actually, you look exhausted, if you don't mind my saying. Would you like to have a break first? Should we go get a coffee?
Yes, coffee. Coffee sounds good. Yes.
We can wait 5 minutes to discuss work.
Yes. Please, let me just finish this memo I am working on, and then I'll tell you what. If you don't mind, I think Fernanda has gone home. Can you bring coffee here? We'll drink coffee and then.
Of course.
Talk. Yes.
Jane's just completely stalling for time. Can she kind of have a brief look around the room just to see if there's anything of note of interest? Any suspicious shiny key objects anywhere?
So I will get to coffee. In my mind, I'm thinking he's tired and perhaps I can whip something together that might actually make him go to sleep. So I'm going to put chamomile tea extract into his decaf coffee.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Julian. And some you peach.
Chamomile tea extract with
heroin.
A slight dash of whale tranquilizer. I don't know.
Whale tranquilizer.
I mean, obviously, if Julian wanted to drug Gonsalves, I mean, you could find something more effective than the chamomile extract, which is really
but that's what I thought was funny. It's like big chemical chemistry guy. He's like chamomile extract. Dun, dun, okay. Dun.
Oh, it's, anyway. It's, I mean, I'll leave it up to you. Whatever you want.
No, I'll give him some whatever sort of tranquilizers I have on me, put into a decaf coffee, essentially.
Okay. So you're going to bring some drugged coffee back to him. Right.
Yes.
In which case, Gonsalves takes the coffee and absentmindedly starts sipping at it and says, yes, you can see he's been annotating a memo on the desk in front of him. And he says, what is it you wanted to speak to me about? He said it was urgent.
I wanted to talk about Iceland and just some of the substances that we found. It was absolutely fascinating. And I was thinking, seeing as we met the good doctor here, Dr. Julian, it might be good if we were to actually work on a research project in sort of you know, ascertaining what some of these substances are, what we may be able to use them for, perhaps any weaponry, yes, or kind of a different things we could do. And Jane's just basically going on and on and on and on.
Yes, yes, yes. I think that would be interesting. I would be more interested in Dr. DuPont perhaps examining the cylinders that you brought back, because I think those are perhaps more within his line of expertise, he says, and falls out of his chair.
He's gone.
Oh, Dr. Gonzalez. Oh, goodness. She's kind of like, not trying to make a huge scene, but kind of trying to...
I'm very sorry. I seem to be.
Oh, the poor dear. He's exhausted. Now, where is this fucking key?
Ah.
Can we have a little
search his pockets first?
Scooch around.
Yeah, you can scooch around. And by all means. I mean, he does have keys on him, and you're fairly certain from the designs that, in fact, I mean, because you've seen your own keys for the elevator to get you onto this floor, you're fairly certain that there's another one there that may be the one you're looking for. That looks very similar.
Also, while we're there, can I do a spot hidden for any sort of, I guess, spells that I think might be written in Nikal, left around, or perhaps even tucked away?
You could give me a... what are you searching? His desk, his person, his office?
His office.
Yeah, give me a spot hidden roll.
Oh my god, I rolled a natural 100.
Okay. Then, yeah, I think while you're looking around, you're searching this bookcase that he's got against one wall, and you're fairly certain that there's maybe a false compartment or something behind it.
Oh.
Or maybe a false door.
Can I push the roll to try and...
Pull
it forward. No.
Yeah, I mean, you can just pull it forward to try to get access to that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, as you as you do so, yeah, I mean, the bookcase overbalances and smashes down, hitting the desk, sending papers flying,
shit,
smashing.
Julian, what are you doing?
I mean, I'm underneath it, right? Because it's fallen down on me, isn't it?
give me a dodge roll to see whether you can get out of the way.
That's 64 against 25, so that's a no.
Okay, so yeah, Julian is pinned between the desk and the bookcase.
Oh, fuck. Help.
Okay, one second.
You can hear one of the researchers from the bullpen rushes over. There's a large academic who you know as Gunter is standing there in the doorway looking. What is this? What is happening? Victor, are you all right?
You better get me out from under here immediately. I'm going to try to intimidate him.
Dr. Gonsalves just passed out and brought down a bookshelf with him.
Did not work. Help me!
Gunter comes in and just starts trying to shove the bookcase back up, and there's stuff all over the floor. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Wait, how does the scary feature work?
Oh, you get a bonus die on your intimidate roll.
Oh, so I could have put a D10 on there. Right?
Yeah, if you want to.
Oh, there you go. I got 19. Or 12, sorry. I rolled a 12.
So you were telling Gunter what, to get out and leave you alone?
No, I said lift this, like, get me out of here immediately.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. He says, yes, of course, and comes up and helps, and, you know, between the two of you, or three of you, you can get the bookcase up and, you know, get Julian free. He's looking around and says, but what is wrong with Dr. Gonsalves?
He looked so...
You needed to take a rest.
He looked so exhausted when we came in to talk to him, but he insisted that we do talk to him about this research we're wanting to do. And then he just dropped off. Poor, poor man. Honestly, he needs a good night's sleep.
But he has slept through all this racket. This is... I need to find who the physician on call is. We must check him. We must get him examined. This is not right.
Oh, well, we have a doctor right here.
No, a medical doctor.
I'm basically like, just pick him up and bring him down. Yeah?
Quickly.
Yes. Of course, yes. We can take him downstairs.
Can I say that while all that ruckus was happening, a little bit before the bookcase started falling, but also whilst all the palaver was going on, can Jane have pocketed the key that she thinks will give access?
Oh, of course, yes. Yeah. I assumed you did that. And Julien and Gunter are frogmarching.com salve this out. Jane could, if you want, have a shot at a spot hidden roll just to notice anything useful before you disappear out of the office.
Sounds lovely. It's a 36 out of 80.
So Jane notices in amongst all the chaos there a couple of the memos that Dot Gonsalves was working on. They're both stamped in red ink, top secret. And with the men leaving the room, you are going to have a chance to read them. But I think we'll leave that until next episode.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, everyone at home, for listening. And thank you, everyone, for playing. If you want to get in touch with me, my name is Joe Tree. You can find me on Twitter at JoeTheGM, or you can find the podcast at HWR Podcast. We also have a podcast Facebook page, Reddit page, and of course our podcast Discord, which is the hub of our sort of social media presence. And you can find a link to that in the show notes and on our Twitter. We also have a Patreon, where not only can you get early access to all our episodes, but you can also find some Patreon-only content, including some Cult Divinity Lost scenarios and Call of Cthulhu scenarios that have not been released on any other platform. So for, I think it's about $5 a month, you get a whole lot of really cool content. So please do check that out. It helps us keep doing what we do. Dave, thank you so very much for playing. Where can people find more of your stuff?
You can find me on our exclusive on the How We Roll Discord. I don't do the socials medias, but we have a nice curated community there because we kick out anyone who turns out to be an asshole. So come join us. Find out if you're not an asshole.
And Curran, again, thank you so much for playing. Where can people find more of your stuff?
Oh, it's my pleasure. I guess if anyone wants to find me, they can find me on the How We Roll or Does It Roll Discords or on Twitter at Curran_J or something. Curran J? Something, I can't remember. I haven't checked.
It is Curran_J.
Find me at that ad.
Thank you. And Camille, where can people find more of you?
Well, you can also find me on Le Discord at Camille B. If you want to ask me any questions or just any general comments, feel free. I'm also on Twitter at Camille Brouard, and I do have various Instagram accounts where I post all my creative things. So if you look up Camille Brouard places, I'll probably crop up.
And last but by no means least, thank you again, Scott. Where can people find more of you?
Yes, thank you, Joe. Yeah, if people want to speak to me again, you can find me on the How We Roll Discord. You can follow me on Twitter at sdorwood. Or if you want to hear the podcast that I do with Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, the co-authors of The Two-Headed Serpent, wherein we talk about Call of Cthulhu, weird fiction, horror films and stuff like that, that is The Good Friends of Jackson Liars, which you can find on pretty well any podcast app or on our website blasphemoustomes.com.
Brilliant, and we'll be back very soon with the next exciting episode.